Hey everyone, we've just come out of the Mando Plus panel. We have seen a teaser for Mando Season 3 Extended and also a sneak peek at Ahsoka. And now we're about to chat to the cast and crew from The Mandalorian, Ahsoka, and the whole Mandoverse. I am pumped. Let's get set. Hey again, Giancarlo.
Oh my goodness, there you are.
Told you I was coming for you.
Dude, you don't look any worse for wear after your long trip.
Shaved. It's all good. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So good to see you. Love seeing the clip, and we just love having you in The Mandalorian. But you're also playing another legendary evil character, Gus Fring. As an actor, with Moff Gideon and Gus Fring, who do you think has got the darkest of... Who is the most evil of the two?
Wow, that is such an intense question. It really, really is. I would have to say, oh my gosh, you're really, really putting me through it. I would have to say it's Moff Gideon. You know, not in terms of my performance evil, but in terms of knowing that when things all fall apart, to take advantage of people to put it back together for your own good is evil. I think Gus is in a way, not a victim, although in this sixth season of Better Call Saul, you see his vulnerability, and you see that he is threatened, so he's just trying to survive. I think Moff Gideon is doing more than surviving. He's bait and switching, right? He has an agenda all his own. He's been a warden of a certain part of the galaxy. He wants to bring all the other wardens together for what reason? Why can't he just live in peace on his own little piece of paradise? There's got to be a reason that he's bringing all of them together, because he must have an agenda of his own. I'm just thinking as a person outside of both characters and not connected to either show.
And to Gus's credit, he does cook great chicken.
He cooks great chicken. I'm particularly proud of my crunchiness. I've never heard of a guy named the Colonel. I only know Gustavo's chicken, and it is the best. And, oh, did I mention? I've recently introduced some curly fries. So you should try my curly fries.
I'm partial to a curly fry.
They're absolutely delicious.
Jeez, great seeing you again, mate.
So great to see you.
Can't
even
have a great time.
I'm just honored to play a character that means so much to the fans, and we get to continue a story from the end of the animation, which, you know, not every animation gets, and this is something that Dave's been pushing for, and our show is literally for the fans in every single way, so you'll see.
Wow.
Thank you.
Hi. Hey, you guys, I'm Steele from Australia, so
cool.
Yeah, very happy for you. And I do have to say, you killed it in that New York skate hip-hop doc. That was
right,
sick.
Thank you so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yeah. You're an OG. We are here with Rosario and Natasha from The Ahsoka Show. Now, so excited. We've got a quick glimpse. Now, you're a little bit old hat. You've stood on planets with Luke Skywalker and Grogu and Din. But may I ask, what was it like stepping aboard the Ghost?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Amazing. I think when you have all the practicals of, that are there, I think it's, there's screens and everything like that. But, of course, we're talking about being at Disneyland, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. What are you talking about?
Because I don't know what you're talking about. There's nothing.
Yeah,
like
the ride.
You're definitely not getting it.
You can't Men in Black me. I saw the clip, all right?
No, it's incredible to see people's reactions to this, and I think they're going to be really excited to actually learn the details of what they're seeing, because we've only had 3 weeks, and you don't know fully yet what you're looking at just yet, but you'll know soon.
Now, Natasha, Sabine is so important to like a new generation of Star Wars fans. I know my friends Lizzie and Zoe, they're called the Sabines, because they go everywhere dressed as Sabine. They've got like a Star Wars podcast, and like the character's been so...
Yeah.
It's Star Wars Geek Girl. Check it out.
Okay, I will.
But what would you like to say to young ladies like Lizzie and Zoe that are... they love the Sabine character. They cosplay as Sabine. They love her journey. Like, what sort of message would you like to give, like, those young ladies to look forward to in Ahsoka?
I am also just a fan of Sabine. I'm inspired by her as I play her. And watching Rebels and seeing her go through so much, and she continues to go through so much, with so much grace and spunk and humor and being uplifting through all of it, I think it's just very inspiring to see someone carry themselves like that and be so fearless in the face of so much danger. So I'm really inspired by her just as much as everyone else is. And I think, like, for everyone who's a huge fan, they get to see that journey continue in a way that is going to be very satisfying. Yes. She deserves it. Sabine deserves it.
She does. And thanks so much, you guys. You're awesome. Cheers. Congratulations as well. We're here with Pedro Pascal, the Mandalorian. We are so thrilled.
My name is Steel, which is really, really cool.
Hey, we've all got things going on, all right? we just saw a clip from season 3. You've been reunited with Grogu. We love the team. They seem like a bit of more of a dynamic duo on adventures. How has the relationship evolved to where they are a bit more like partners in their adventure rather than a caring and a father type situation?
I think one of the coolest things that I'm discovering that's happening in the relationship is that the question of who is protecting who at a certain point, because Grogu is learning to harness his power more and more, and the power obviously goes beyond what Din Djarin is capable of, but yet still in his position of love and parenting, that power needs to be harnessed in the right way, and so I love how the dynamic can kind of oscillate between those, you know, those things.
Awesome. Thanks very much. Cheers. Hey, how are you doing? We're here with Katie Sackhoff, Bo-Katan, Starbuck. one thing that Star Wars fans really love is like having one of our own, like someone that grew up as a fan would maybe like buy a ticket for Celebration up there on the stage and in the shows. How's the journey been?
The 5-year-old in me needs to be pinched over and over and over again. The fact that this is my life is pretty amazing. I looked at Dave the other day, and under my breath, I literally just said, "How is this my life?" And he said, "I ask myself that every day." So, you know, it's beyond anything I could have ever imagined.
Now, I know you can't give anything away about season 3, but with Bo-Katan, what sort of either pro or con life lessons is her character got to teach the viewer? What is it that maybe we can glean from her experience in season 3?
Yeah, you know, I think that Bo-Katan has a lot of guilt and where she came from in Clone Wars and Rebels to Mandalorian. There's a lot of shame and guilt and pain for her. You know, she followed someone she maybe shouldn't have when she was younger and lost her sister in the process. That can't help but change who you are as a person. And I think we're seeing that now.
Excellent. And one more question. How is Mandalore this time of year?
Airy.
Thanks so much. Congratulations. And can't wait to see it.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you. Hey, Emily. Steele from Australia. So nice to meet you. Fans were so relieved and shocked to have the armorer return in the Book of Boba Fett. How was the wait for you? Were you as worried about your character at the end of Mandalorian Season 1 as we were, or you had a bit of insight that her story would be ongoing?
I knew that I wasn't dead. I did know that. But I had no idea if I was going to come back because these folks are very good at keeping secrets, even from us. And so I had no idea. I was thrilled that I had gotten to be a part of season one and that I'd been part of the journey so far. I had no guarantees that I would be back. I had no reason to assume that I would be back because I didn't know where the story was going. So I knew I wasn't in season two because no one ever called me to be part of season two. And then I got a call about the Book of Boba Fett and that there would be some involvement. And then I got the script, and I was blown away at what I was going to be revealing. And so I had to call up and ask for a talk with John and Dave because I needed to get straight for myself what was new information that I was revealing, what was...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Information that the fans would already know and that, you know, we already had established, and so they helped me lay out, you know, what, and because there was some pretty important new canon that was being revealed, so it was very exciting.
As a fan, you know, we all stay up till like midnight or 3 a.m. or whenever it's going to show, and the just like, yes, she's back. It was awesome. Now
I had to sit on that secret for a long time because we shot it in April, I think, and then that aired in, was it February of the next year? So that was torture.
Now, you mentioned in the panel that you, like, sort of respect the armorer because she's quite wise. Yet, she's not giving our hero, the Mandalorian, forgiveness for taking off his mask when we know he's a true and honorable man. He's got to go back to Mandalore. How, like, in your thinking and logic of the character, do you sort of... Does she know something that we don't, that she's putting the Mandalorian like through this? Because in my mind, if she was wise, she'd go, "You're okay, Mandalorian. You can come back and hang out with us." How do you quantify that?
Well, I feel like the way you asked that question, you might know the answer.
I have no answer. I'm here for the answers.
You said, does she know something that we don't? I feel like the armorer always knows something that we don't. And I think one of the things that I really appreciated about her from the start is that she never, the way that she sort of mentors Din Djarin is she never forces him anywhere he's not ready to go. And we saw that in season one. She didn't force him to take complete responsibility of Grogu until he was ready for it at the end of the season, and then she said, "You are a clan of two." She didn't tell him immediately when he was assigned Grogu as his bounty, because I think she knew even then that something was up, but she didn't tell him, "Oh, you got to watch out for this guy." And so I think that she knows that there's something more that he needs to learn from this experience. I think that's one of the best ways that teachers teach and parents teach. That's one of the ways that we learn. It's not by being given the easy answer. It's by going through the trial. Because if we were just given the easy answer, we might immediately forget, you know, what it is that we need to learn.
Okay, so you're saying maybe she's pushing him away for his own good?
I hope so.
Now, in the panel, you also dispelled the rumor that you improv the line, "This is the way," which is pretty good. But did you realize the impact and that, like, it became an instant iconic phrase, like, up there, with all due respect to the classics, "May the Force be with you"? Did it catch you by surprise at how much, like the world and pop culture, like, took that on?
It's unbelievable. How could I possibly
anticipate something like that. Yes, it's unbelievable. I mean, honestly, I didn't even know how much it would be used in the show because when I was shooting, I didn't get to see the rest of the show until it aired and the rest of the world saw it. So I hadn't read scripts, so I didn't even know how much it was used within the fabric of the show. I just knew within my scene. So then to see how much it took off, it's unreal. I have no words for it.
It's amazing. I remember just hearing the line for the first time, watching it and going, that's awesome. Yeah. Say that all the time. Yeah. Thanks so much for your time. It was really fun.
Thank you. Cheers. Appreciate it. Thanks.
That was awesome.
So I'm excited at the prospect, but there's been no official word just yet, so we'll see what happens.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Hello, my friend.
How are you doing? We're here with Tamira Morrison, a man that if you see him at Star Wars Celebration on opening night and your friend's having a birthday, they will definitely come over to your table and wish my friend a happy birthday. I really appreciate that the other night at that top bar.
Yes, yes, yes. It was nice. It was nice.
I have to know. You've been able to play so many different versions of Jango, Boba and all the clones.
Yes, yes.
One of the most surprising and poignant depictions was in Kenobi with the clone trooper
yes.
begging.
Oh my God, the clone trooper. I thought he stole the whole show. There I was trying to watch Obi-Wan Kenobi, but that clone trooper, man, he's just like, it's like Clint Eastwood, like Unforgiven, you know? He's like, he's on pit row now. Things aren't working out. The clone army is not the clone army as they used to be. So I was the representative to say, well, hey, things are looking bad here. He's on the streets of New York, Times Square there. But I had a wonderful time watching Obi-Wan. What a performance by Ewan McGregor. I just thought, you know, these wonderful mature performance in that... You know, I could see how subtle he is, but still performing in the eyes, telling the story in his own subtle way. The music, again, really lifted the Obi-Wan series, I thought, with that John Williams influence.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are making kind of epic television, epic slots on Disney Plus that really deserve their own place in the theater. You know, they standalone movies. So I really enjoyed Obi-Wan. I really enjoyed my experience on the Book of Boba. We had a great time, great crew. And the other thing too, when you work on the Book of Boba, you also have a lot of crew members that are passionate about the history of Star Wars. So mm-hmm. so there's plenty of people to reference.
Yeah.
And I had to do a lot of that because, well, you know, I don't know too much about the ins and outs and some of the history and then some of the overlapping things. So I was able to draw a lot on my crew. They helped me out a lot. So, hey, sometimes I'm just part of this whole walker that's going forward. Just another member of the canoe paddling.
Yes.
Paddling.
Space canoe.
The space canoe paddling out of the sands of Tatooine. But yeah, wonderful experience. Wonderful. We came together as a family too. So wonderful. Yeah, that's right. We were up at the top floor the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wish the lady a happy birthday. That's what it's about too. This is all about just meeting the fans again.
Well,
and
you've spent 20 years giving back to the fans,
yes,
so we're so happy to see that you're back in the spotlight, back on our TVs, and maybe one day back on our cinema screens as well.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Thank
Cheers,
you,
Tim. You're the man.
Thank you, Bella.
Thanks,
thank
man.
You very much.
Hello, sir. The rest of the guy.
Okay. All right. We are here with my favorite Dresden patron, Jon Favreau.
Okay, that's a deep cut.
You got me a great New Year's Eve with those guys one year. It was awesome. Now, one of the things that's been sizzled in the Mandoverse is that there'll be a crossover, a conclusion, a crossover event. Can you share any timeline for that, like a projection of when maybe like we could look forward to that happening?
Well, there's a lot going on now that Dave's really drilling down on Ahsoka. And, you know, as much as it's exciting to explore that character, as we get deeper into characters that have connections with other characters of importance, the storylines inevitably become more political and more significant alongside of pre-existing Star Wars, especially the stuff that Dave's worked on in animation. So little by little, I think more will emerge. And as I'm writing and other filmmakers are and producers are writing, we really have to start communicating about how all of this begins to affect one another. Because you don't want movies that are existing within the same time frame to ignore one another. And by Dave and I being involved with all of the shows within this time frame, we could start to make it all, to everything have connection points that inevitably lead to conflicts and resolution.
Do you have a time frame?
I think that's all to be discovered and explored.
Hey everyone, that's a wrap for our Mandalorian Season 3 cast and crew interviews. Again, huge thanks to Zing Pop Culture and EB Games in Australia for supporting Steel Wars at this year's Star Wars Celebration. Go back and check on their YouTube and social media because they have a bunch of cool stuff that we filmed for them there. And make sure you're subscribed to whatever you're watching this on now, because we have so much cool stuff still to post from Star Wars Celebration. It's going to take us weeks, literally, to get all this stuff up, but some really fun content of stuff that you may have missed while you were there or covering, watching the convention from back home. And we'll also have some pretty unique coverage of the Obi-Wan Kenobi show coming up as well. So stay tuned for that. Hit favorite, comment on what you think about the quotes and interact. I always love to hit people back. If you're listening to the podcast, make sure you subscribe. Give us a sweet 5-star on iTunes. And hey, most of all, may that force be with you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.